Happy Sabbath, my brothers and sisters. It's been a while since I've stood in the pulpit because we've had so many different days. And I begin this morning with some news. We have been getting together as pastors of the Motor City, and we have agreed on a plan for the month of May, M-A-Y. That is, while we have our individual churches, in the month of May, we will worship together. May has 5 weeks, 5 Sabbaths, and we have 5 speakers from within the Motor City, and all our church members will be viewing the same thing. We're still going to devise a plan here whereby we can start Sabbath school a little earlier. And so we will, from Sabbath school, we will segue into the divine hour to the joint worship service for the Motor City area. Some more details will come as we get them. But just hold on to your seat. Something exciting and wonderful and good that will happen in the month of May. I don't know what heaven would be like, but somehow I have this suspicion that there will be corporate worship in heaven. We're not going to have our individual groups. We'll get together with Jesus himself giving the message. So we're going to start practicing down here how to get together. This morning I want to speak on the subject, Sodom and Gomorrah. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the opportunity to share your word with your children. Come now, guide and direct as we speak on these 4 points in this message. For this we ask in Jesus' name, let the saints all say amen. I want to be just as candid with you as you are candid with me. And I will tell you, as a boy growing up, when I heard the expression Sodom and Gomorrah, I knew instinctively it meant something bad. Fire and brimstone. And then as I got older, it dawned upon me that when we hear how this city was destroyed, we associate it with sins, a particular kind of sin. We heard of a man named Lot and his daughters, and angels visiting, and the men of Sodom were so wicked, yes, they were, that they knocked on Lot's door that was giving these two angels some kind of shelter for the night. And the men of Sodom said, "Send them out so that we can have our way with them." They were thinking of some sexual perversion. And Lot said, "Wait a minute, don't do this, man. I have some daughters who are virgins." And the men were so wicked, they said, "We don't want your virgin daughters. Send us out the men." And so, if you've been honest with me today, and I think you are, I know you are, that you may be just like me in that when you hear Sodom and Gomorrah, you hear fire and brimstone, what comes to mind is God destroying these people, these inhabitants of the Twin City because of their wickedness, their sexual perversion, more specifically, their homosexual tendencies. Well, today we want to talk of Sodom and Gomorrah. But I want to drop something on you today. Hopefully, we will leave with a better picture and understanding of ourselves in the context of this subject. Sodom and Gomorrah. And you can see on the screen, fire and brimstone and people running for their lives. The first of 4 points I'll be making today is called an unusual comparison. An unusual comparison. And there we see the remains of Sodom on my left, and on the right, Jerusalem. And why would I be comparing Jerusalem? Hey, Jerusalem. We know what the song says. And then we hear in Revelation when God talks about the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Jerusalem evokes something good and wonderful. And here I have the audacity to compare Jerusalem with Sodom. And so let's go to the Bible, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, verse 1. In your scripture reading, in Genesis 18, we read of Abraham, and Abraham having a discussion with the Lord. And you will notice there's a capital L for the Lord, divinity. And there was a negotiation or a bargaining, and God said Sodom was so wicked, he's ready to destroy it. And Abraham said, well, wait a minute, God. If we can find 50 righteous people, are you still going to destroy it? God said, no, if you find 50. Abraham thought about it. He said, maybe 50 is too high. He went down to 45. Wait, God, peradventure, if we find 45, would you? God said, no, I wouldn't destroy. He said, God, excuse me for being, you know, so presumptuous, but would you consider if we find 40? And God said, no, Abraham, I would not destroy this place if you find 40. And Abraham thought about it for a while, and he said, Lord, what about 30? And God says, Abraham, if there are 30 righteous people living in this place, this wicked place, I am not going to destroy it. And Abraham said, Lord, please be patient with me. What if we find 20? He went from 50 to 45 to 40 to 30, and now he's down to 20. And he says, God, what if we find 20? Would you destroy? God says, no. And Abraham thought about it. He said, you know what? Maybe 20 is a little too high. He said, God, just one last time. Have you ever been in such a negotiation where it keeps changing and God is patient? What is it now, Abraham? Because he knew his nephew Lot and his family were living in Sodom, and Abraham didn't want them to die. And you see, and so he said, God, what if there are 10 righteous people? Would you destroy this city? And God said, no, Abraham, if I find 10, I'm going to spare the city. There were 3 beings that came to visit Abraham that day. And Abraham prepared some bread. His wife did. Call upon her. Come on, quick, Sarah, make some bread. And he went and he got a calf and he dressed it. And I don't know what is it about these angels. It seems when they visit, they're just big meat eaters. And they ate, and 2 left that evening and went towards Sodom while Abraham was talking to the Lord. And we know what happened. They couldn't find 10 people, and the city was destroyed. So here's it now. We come to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16. And here I want you to spend some time reading with me, following through this message on these 4 points. An unusual comparison. Yes, I compared Sodom with Jerusalem. How dare you do such a thing? Well, let's go to Ezekiel 16:1. Read together with me. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, confront Jerusalem with her detestable practices. This is God's prophet speaking, saying, Jerusalem, we got a problem. Your behavior is detestable. It's not good. And then we go to verse 48. And this I find very striking in this Ezekiel 16 chapter. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, your sister Sodom and her daughters never did what you and your daughters have done. Hold a minute. Is God comparing Jerusalem with Sodom? Yes. Not only does he compare Jerusalem with Sodom, I just want to read that again slowly. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign God, your sister Sodom and her daughters never did what you and your daughters have done. This is God saying, not Errol Ezekiel Liverpool. Yes, Ezekiel is my middle name. This is Ezekiel the prophet giving God's message, and he writes that Sodom was never as bad as Jerusalem. The church of the living God, the people who are supposed to be examples of God, are now being compared to a city that was destroyed for its wickedness. I said an unusual comparison. Question. What if someone walked off the street and decided to compare you, the church goer, with something that is heathen? You would say, what audacity. How dare you compare me or my church with some place known for its wickedness? Don't want to be disparaging to anyone, but I can only be candid. When I came to this country, after a while it dawned upon me, when people wanted to talk about a city where homosexuality reigned, they talk about San Francisco. They will remember Harvey Milk. But this is something that we sometimes unconsciously do as a church. We say, well, hey, we are God's people. How dare you compare us with any city? San Francisco, New York, call it any city where there is debauchery and sin and sexual sins. How dare you compare? An unusual comparison, that is. An unusual comparison. Stop and think about it for a moment. What if God were to compare you, not some stranger on the street? What if God were to come to your church and compares your church with a place you consider to be bad and vile? What if God were to say, instead of Jerusalem, the Seventh-day Adventist church? What if he were to make that comparison? He sees your leadership, your pastors, your presidents, your officers, your members, and he says, hey, I'm going to make a comparison between you. And in case you forgot, let us read it again. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, your sister Sodom and her daughters never did what you and your daughters have done. The comparison God was saying is that Jerusalem was worse than Sodom. Hold a minute, that stinks up the place. Are you saying the Seventh-day Adventist church, if compared with some sinful place, would be looked upon as worse? That's not what I'm saying. I'm asking, what if such a comparison were to be made? From an unusual comparison, can we have a conclusion? And I've titled the second one, An Unfavorable Conclusion. And you'll see what I mean in a second. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 16 and verse 49. And I want you to read it with me. I'm going to take my time, because some of us, when we hear Sodom and Gomorrah, we think sexual perversion. We say that's the sin of Sodom. But here is Ezekiel writing, and here is what he says. Now this was the sin of your sister Sodom. He's talking about Jerusalem. And he says, now this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. Let's stop for a moment. Wait a minute. Doesn't it say the sin of Sodom was homosexuality? Wait a minute. Let me read this again. Now this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant. And while we read this, remember God is saying that Jerusalem is worse than Sodom. She was arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy. Hold a minute. The sin of Sodom. Are we talking about social justice? Ezekiel says the sin is that they did not help the poor and needy. They were haughty and they did detestable things before me. And I think those detestable things, we will conclude, included sexual perversion. But the sin of Sodom is that she and her daughters were arrogant. Hold a minute. Are we as a church arrogant? Do we behave as if we're better than any other group? Do we claim to have the truth and behave as if somehow we're all of that? Is arrogance a part of us? And before we think of the corporate body, let us bring it down to the individual. In your local church, do you have a reputation of being arrogant? The watchword of God's people is humility. Ellen White says Moses was one of the meekest of men that walked on the earth. Are we arrogant? Do we spend time in our board meetings, our departmental meetings, displaying arrogance? How dare you challenge me? How dare you disagree with what I say? The sin of Sodom was arrogance, overfed, stuffing oneself, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy. They were haughty and did detestable things before me. Therefore, I did away with them, as you have seen. Samaria did not commit half the sins you did. God, you're really laying it on thick. You're making some statements about some really bad people. The Samaritans didn't love you, God, and you're saying that your church, Jerusalem, was worse than these folk were? You have done more detestable things than they. That's what God says. and have made your sister seem righteous by all these things you have done. Hold a minute. Did I read that correctly? God is saying by my lifestyle, I make the ungodly look righteous. That's what he's saying. And so we go from an unusual comparison to an unfavorable conclusion. And now the third of my 4 points, an uncomfortable consequence. This is Ezekiel chapter 16, and now we go to verse 52. Bear your disgrace, for you have furnished some justification for your sisters. In other words, Jerusalem, you're making them talk bad about me by your behavior. Your behavior is disgraceful. Because your sins were more vile than theirs, they appear more righteous than you. This is God speaking through the prophet Ezekiel. He is talking about Jerusalem. He is talking about Jerusalem. An uncomfortable conclusion. So then, be ashamed and bear your disgrace, for you have made your sisters appear righteous. Jerusalem, the church of the living God, God's righteous people, God is saying, get an examination of yourself and see that what you're doing is making Sodom and Gomorrah look good. And Ezekiel 22 continues, you city that brings on herself doom by shedding blood in her midst and defiles herself by making idols. Wait a minute. You remember God's commandments? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Don't bow down. Don't worship them. Don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy mother and thy father, so that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Number 6. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Number 7. Thou shalt not lie. Number 8. Thou shalt not covet what thy neighbor has. Thou shalt not steal. God is saying, Jerusalem, you now having idols. You're defiling yourself by worshiping idols. You have become guilty because of the blood you have shed and have become defiled by the idols you have made. And by the way, the blood being talked about here was the practice of some in Jerusalem of offering their children a sacrifice, killing them, murdering them. In their idol worship. When you begin to worship idols, you begin to do the very things the heathen nations find themselves doing. You have brought your days to a close, and the end of your years has come. An uncomfortable consequence God is giving. Therefore, I will make you an object of scorn to the nations and a laughingstock to all the countries. When we mess up, sometimes God allows things to happen and we become humiliated. The audacity of comparing God's people to Sodom, this wicked place. Those who are near and those who are far away will mock you, you infamous city full of turmoil. God was speaking about Jerusalem.
infamous. The same Jerusalem that when we think of heaven, we think of Jerusalem, that beautiful city. See how each of the princes of Israel who are in you uses his power to shed blood. Ezekiel continues, in you they have treated father and mother with contempt. In you they have oppressed the foreigner and mistreated the fatherless and the widow. In you, they said, let's build borders and keep the foreigners out. Put them in cages. This is our land. Jerusalem, your behavior is being laid plain before for all to see. In you they have oppressed the foreigner and mistreated the fatherless and the widow. But here are some other things that were being practiced in Jerusalem. You extort unjust gain from your neighbors. Hold a minute. What did you say, God? You extort unjust gain from your neighbors. Extortion. You're using your power and your position to take what doesn't belong to you and make it yours. And you have forgotten me, declares the sovereign Lord. And this is God after pronouncing his judgment on Jerusalem. He continues to be God. This is God. When we have messed up, when we have done things, detestable things, and God says, you are worse than Sodom, I am here to tell you today that when Jesus stood on that mountain of Olive, and he looked towards Jerusalem, and he can see the destruction of the city, he cried out, oh Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how I long to gather you under my arms like the hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Jesus cried that day for Jerusalem. Is God crying for his people today? Are we so arrogant that we will say, God doesn't have to cry for our church because we got it going on. We all right, God, go someplace else and pronounce judgment upon them. But we cool, God, because we keep your commandments. Of course, we're Sabbath keepers. Of course, we are vegans and vegetarians. Of course, we don't drink. Oh, yes, God, we do all these things. And God is saying, wait a minute. Did you just read what Ezekiel said about Jerusalem? Before you come to a conclusion what you're not, maybe you need to spend some time looking over what he said. Are you arrogant? Are you lending money for interest? Are you prone to extortion? Do you have someone who doesn't have, and instead of giving, you're holding that person over a barrel with a gun? And this God says, after you've examined yourself, I want you to know the kind of God I am. Because I will abundantly pardon those who come to me. And so Ezekiel 34, here is what the prophet says. We've moved from Ezekiel 22, 34, chapter 34th chapter of Ezekiel. And I want you to read these verses with me. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. Let's see what's happening. God is saying, in this entire city, there may be some who don't want to walk as if they are following me, the shepherd. I'm going to go looking for them. I don't know about you today, but I think it's a wonderful thing when we have a God who comes looking for us. He says, I myself, I'm not sending anybody else. I myself, I'll come searching. We remember when Adam and Eve messed up and they went and hid themselves. The good book tells us that God came searching for them. Adam, where are you? I want us to hear God's voice. Don't be concerned, well, how dare you compare me with the heathen? God says, if you mess up, I'm going to come looking for you. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. God always has a word of comfort. Yes, you're worse than Sodom, but God says, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. If you listen to me as I come searching for you, I'm going to be your shepherd. And I'm going to look after you. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on the day of clouds and darkness. Yes, when punishment comes in, everyone is running. It's a dark day. But God says, I'm going to rescue you from the dark clouds. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I'm going to go after the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I'm going to bring them to a place where the shepherd is in charge. I don't know about you, but the new Jerusalem is coming. And it's going to be ruled by King Jesus. And when he sits on his throne, we won't have to worry about extortion, usury. We won't have to worry about sacrificing children unto idols. We won't have to worry about being arrogant. To be in that city, we will have to be like Jesus. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will there be grazing land. They will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. This is God speaking. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. In verse 16, it says, I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. Oh, that's a tough word. Strays. In New International Version, I think, renders it right. We strayed from God. And God says, I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. But hold a minute. When God is searching for the lost, just bear with me for a few more minutes. When God is searching for the lost, unfortunately, he will have to come into the church because there are some who are lost right in the church. They may be sitting in the pews week after week, year after year, but they're lost. But God is going to search for the lost, even those in the church. But the reason I'm emphasizing this, because when we hear lost, we think of the people like Sodom. God says, examine yourself. Are you arrogant? Are you taking care of the widows? Are you treating the strangers kindly? You can be in church and still not doing the things God wants us to do. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. Have you been injured? Do you feel powerless? God says, I'm coming after you. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. The sleek, those who are cunning themselves, those who have an appearance and nothing more, I will shepherd the flock with justice. You are my sheep. Verse 31 of Ezekiel 34. And I know your home, but I want you to say it with me. You are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture. And I am your God, declares the sovereign Lord. God says, it's me. When I tell you a thing is so, it is so. You are my sheep. Hold a minute right there. If God declares you his sheep, don't lose sleep over anyone who thinks otherwise. They don't matter. It is God that matters. You are my sheep. And God says, he is your God. So today, this Sabbath day, I want us to remember these four things. An unusual comparison. How do you feel, or how would you feel, if God compares you to something that is ungodly? Maybe you're the only Christian in your family. Maybe you have siblings who don't walk in the way you walk, and God is saying, wait a minute, I've looked at you who are in church. I've looked at your siblings who don't go to church, and boy, I think they're better than you, worse than they are. It's very possible. An unusual comparison, an unfavorable conclusion God has said to us that we know better than they are. An uncomfortable consequence. God says that as a consequence, we will be disgraced. We will be the laughing stock. He is going to humiliate us before we can become humble. But with all of that, with God, there is an unimaginable compassion. God says that he is our shepherd and we are his sheep. I don't know where you are today, but I ask as you ponder this message, the next time you hear the names Sodom and Gomorrah, don't think of those people and what you think they represent. Just ask yourself, is God saying that I'm worse than they are? And if so, humble yourself and accept that his compassion, unimaginable as it is, he says, I am your shepherd, and you are my sheep. Father in heaven, we know what comes to mind when we hear Sodom and Gomorrah. We think of vile people, wicked people, sexual people, perversion. That's what we think. But you told us today that the sin of Sodom was being overfed, being arrogant, not caring for the poor and needy. Help us, O God, to recognize who we are. And if you tell us that we're worse than Sodom and the people of Sodom, may we be so humble to say, Lord, have mercy upon me. And then experience this unimaginable compassion where you declare you are our shepherd and we are your sheep. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Let the saints say, amen. May God bless you all.